In a little exercise, the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, we're looking at the particular comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of the high priest, etc., in the tabernacle. Now, if you went back to the tabernacle in the world, here's Egypt, here's all of the countries of the world, and there's little old Israel in the land of Palestine. And there's the tabernacle in the middle of them, ultimately, from the Sinai into the Holy Land. So we have the tabernacle, and the whole world is busy. The only place you would really see an exercise of the God's presence would be in the around the tabernacle. Apart from that, that doesn't mean God wasn't knowing everything about everybody, but they would have no knowledge of God. They'd be doing their religious things like in Egypt, etc. We come to the temple that was built, and the temple ends up there in the land of Palestine, in Jerusalem, and the temple is there. It isn't like the Temple of Solomon. That's been down, and the temple sits there, Ezra, Nehemiah. And the temple sits there, and history goes on. And where's God? Not much, but God is searching up and down the land for whosoever has a heart for God. So we come up and down the land, and we've come at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem and his birth. And thus God is going to show himself. Temple, big Herod's big temple, but you won't find God. You don't see God. And where are we going to find God? In a single man, as it were, of the Lord Christ. And so God shows himself in a most wonderful way to the people that are most able to understand and appreciate God's person and presence. So he shows himself to Israel, as it were. The Romans don't care. People don't care. So our Lord goes to the cross and dies, and he has an official rejection by the Jews, official rejection by the Gentiles. So we have just our Lord. Now God, what happens if we want to know God? Well, the Jews had opportunity to know him, but they chose not to. The Gentiles didn't care. And the disciples, the believers, come along, and there's a handful of them, as it were. And those believers are powerless. Think of the morning if the Lord tarries. They're powerless. But they're there. And the Lord goes to the cross. So, official rejection. So now we come to the cross, and God, in his grace, the wrath of God is there because they have rejected him and his saving solution. And when you reject God's saving solution, you're left with judgment and wrath. But God is going to be a little more gracious and give a little more time, and he's going to evidence his wonderful, wonderful person in a wonderful way to show his grace. His grace, that means God's doing it. The world isn't deserving it. The world doesn't care, basically, but he's going to show his grace before his wrath. Now, so with that half a thought in your mind, how does he show it? How is he going to show it? And the book of Hebrews chapter 10 helps us understand that in a wonderful way. So the chapter 10, Remember, in verse 5, we read a body, the end of verse 5, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. So, this is before he comes into the world, born in Bethlehem of Judea. So a body has been prepared, a physical body. His physical body was demonstrated so that you could see God, touch God, hear God in Christ Jesus. You could do everything. You could do it. But they rejected him. Now, so having done that, God is going to, as we shared, God is going to show his grace some more. So he takes whosoever's, whosoever's. How is he going to take a whosoever and show his grace? That's the question. So that's Hebrews chapter 10. How is he going to show his grace? A body thou hast prepared for him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, sliding down, if I can, to verse 10. By which will, God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So by God's will, we are sanctified by the body of Jesus Christ. That's his physical body. It goes to the cross. The only way us humans can see, smell, taste, touch is by his body, his physical body. And they crucified his body. God is going to show his body again in a most wonderful way. Now his body, understand, we're in the presence of God and different realm, spiritual realm. We're earthly, spiritual. By spiritual, that means it's different. And using a different illustration, all the sound waves and everything are traveling everywhere right now. Everything's there. We don't see it, taste it, smell it, hear it. Without some instrument, a radio or something to tune it in, you don't hear it at all. It's different. God's different. The sound waves are here, everything's here. We just don't have the instrument to tune into it. God is here. We need a way to get to God, for God to get to us. That's why he died on the cross. A body thou hast prepared. Now, what do you know, God? Put what you know together. Here's the body, and you know, in Ephesians, you aren't far away, but we'll do just that much anyway. Ephesians. And in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. And you remember, and you would know, verse 22. And God hath put all things under his feet, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So he is the head of the body, the church, which, verse 23, which is his body. He's the head, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God is going to demonstrate. How can we continue the grace of God? How are we going to show it? We need a body. We crucify the body, resurrected, seated at the right hand of God. We need a body. We need a body to what? To show God. That's what we need. Got to have a body to show God. Can't do it without, because people can't see anything, understand anything without a body. Not a giraffe either. See, it has to be a body. Human body. That's where God, but that's what God's done. He's taken whosoever's that believe and placed them in a unique, wonderful relationship in Christ. And they are to evidence his body, his wonderful body, in your body, in my body. He's going to take his body and now use that he made possible with his body. He's going to take your body that he saves and show his body. That's why Ephesians 2:1, 22, and 23, which is his body, verse 23, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take your body that's saved and show himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Because he has to have a body in order to show it to the world that doesn't want to know it. So, now having said that, back over to Hebrews 10, and you know all those things, I hope, you know, that you're bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you're bought with a price, you're not your own, you're his. Okay, now, Hebrews, if you got that part, hang on to it. And if I can find Hebrews again. Hebrews 10, where are they? Now, Hebrews 10, picking up, please, in verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We're sanctified. Now hang on to that. Sacred, to be set apart. The word sanctified means to be set apart, consecrated, holy, separated, sanctified, separated, set apart. Now, and we should, many times over the years, to say understand sanctification. And so here, I can do that. I can do it with a tissue, put it in my pocket. But here's the watch. It's easier and easier to demonstrate. Here's the watch. There's 100 watches. Right now, there's 8 billion watches on planet Earth, humans. So, and God's looking for a whosoever. And the whosoever that believes. So I'm looking for a watch. I'm looking for a watch, and here's the watch. So I'm going to take the watch, this watch, and I'm going to go and sanctify it. A, I took it and received it to myself, and I'm going to sanctify it and put it on my wrist. All of those watches are there. They are not sanctified. This is the only watch that is set apart for me. And everywhere I go, every time I move my hand, I'm showing my what? My watch. A body thou hast prepared for me. I'm going to take your body and use your body to show my wonderful person. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to set you apart. Here you are. So as God exercises his wonderful presence, he's going to show himself in whatever way, because you're sanctified. It isn't just sitting there planning how to show him. It's the very fact that you've received him as your Savior, that you're exercising that truth, and you're showing it. God's doing it wherever, because you're saved. And you go to the grocery store, you go to the kitchen, you get in your car, you go to work, whatever you're doing, and wherever you are sanctified, and God's going to show himself wherever you are. Do you understand that? It isn't hard. It's no big trick. And sanctification isn't some nice word. It's a definite needed word in order to function. Because he has to show himself. He needs a body to show himself. The body needs to be sanctified for him to show himself, set apart for him. Therefore, with that in mind, keeping that in mind, exercise it so you see it. A little bit. John 17. And this is just a little exercise. So wherever the believer goes, then he goes. Because the believer is set apart. And God is going to use the believer in sleeping and waking and eating and drinking. Whatever you do, do it to the what? Do it to the glory of God. That's what you do. Because wherever you go, that's what you're doing. Go to the bed, whatever you do. It's a wonderful thing. So you don't have to sit there and say, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. You just relax and do the things as best you can. And this understanding your relationship to God, it'll cool down your acts, your attitude, your words, your language. It'll cool it all down. You don't do that so much. Now, chapter 17. You'll remember as we did that, verse 17. Sanctify them, God the Father, God the Son to God the Father. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. God is going to honor his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? That's his word. You're taking his word. Believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Take his word. Sanctified through the word. We believed his word. And God sanctifies us and sets us apart. Now, verse 19. For their sakes, the Lord Jesus making it all possible, I sanctify myself. Why? That they also might be sanctified through the truth. So all the truth in the Bible in front of you, in your hands, I hope. All of that truth is zero if he doesn't die on the cross. If God isn't God and he doesn't die, all of those are a bunch of words that no one could ever do the Bible anyway. No one ever would think of doing the Bible. No one writes like God. God deals with humanity and reality. Humans do not. They avoid reality. Using a thing when I had to do some of the things I was doing. And in the process of reading, preparing for something and doing it, I'm looking in the Old Testament, looking at something, and I want to, here it is. So I'm going to check it. Here's the Hebrews. Here's the Jewish commentators, Jewish. And so I'm going to listen. I'm going to talk to the Jews. I mean, that's a deal. If it's Jewish, don't you want to talk to the Jews? Who's Jewish? So I take the Jewish book and read it. And I come to that section. And I look at the section. And then I look. What happened to verse 19? They went from verse 16, 17, 18, to 22. I said they should have corrected this. No. They didn't want to have to deal with what it said in the light of the Jews. They didn't want to deal with it. You'll see it tonight, maybe this morning. Who knows? God knows. Anyway. They don't want to deal with it, so they won't. And you pick up the Jewish commentaries, and they don't want to talk about that. It says it, this clear, simple, plain, but you don't want to talk about it. You just go right by it, because we don't want to think like that. If we take it, what it says, we're going to be more prone to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says so. So we aren't going to write about it, do anything with it. So you understand that? So that's the theologians. So the public out there is far distant from that. Public is miles away from that. let alone, what do they know? Nothing, see. They don't care. Public doesn't, that's true politically too. Now, so in the process, you understand that. Now, do it again, a little different way. Over, if I can, over to First, we'll do First Corinthians. First Corinthians in chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 2. Unto the church of God, the assembly, church assembly of God, which is located at, in Corinth, the city of Corinth. Who am I addressing the letter to? To them that are sanctified. I'm addressing to those that are set apart. Here's all the watches, but only the watches that are sanctified. Other people don't care 2 cents about Corinthians. Only sanctified people that are belonging to God. Only them. So if you say, go to look at, no, they aren't going to mean a thing to them. But to them, Corinth is written to the sanctified. And in Christ Jesus, that's where they're sanctified. You just read that in John chapter 17, so you don't have to guess at that. Called to be saints, saintly saints, set apart ones. And so that's a wonderful thing to be set apart. Saints are set apart ones. The Roman Catholic Church has saints, you know, and have to die, I think, because you... Isn't it, you have to die before you become a saint? Yeah, you're going to die first, so. Anyway, so we're living saints. Well, saints, what can we tell you? So here we are, saints, set apart ones, with all them that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the believers are set apart, they're bought with a price, they're his body, and they're sanctified. So when here we are assembled together. And why are we assembled together? We're assembled to honor and understand our relationship to God, which is why we're reading, in particular, Hebrews chapter 10. Understand our relationship to God. Now, other people can come in and out, 1 Corinthians 14 and that, and they can hear and come and go, but only the sanctified are going to pay attention. We don't try to deal with the people that don't know and don't care. We try to deal with the people that are sanctified. So the messages are to sanctified people, to help them to exercise their intelligently their relationship. And the church is to build up itself. And as the church builds up its testimony in the believers go out to the highways and byways to work and home and school and whatever they do, and they evidence what we do here. That's the evangelism. We're evidencing. When we go to work, when we go to school, we're believers. We're believers. And we evidence that, we're to evidence that life, sanctified. This equips us, locks us together, so that when we go out, we have a testimony of some substance. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to the book of Acts. And chapter 26. And you will notice, in God's great dealing with the Apostle Paul, sliding along, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. That's a God's commission. God's commission to Paul. To open. What's your purpose, God? What do you want me to do? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that purpose they may receive forgiveness of sins, A, and inheritance among them. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:2. 1:2, we're sanctified, the believers. Receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me in Christ. Just right, got it. It's written to what? To believers? To believers to understand they're set apart for God. And that's what you want. So you're going to help you get saved. Here's the person down the street. Get saved. To be able to be set apart with the rest of us. So if I had 100 watches, like the people that used to sell in the park, did you ever find them years? I don't know what they do these days. You know, they used to come up to you and say, would you like to buy a watch? And then they do this, you know, and here's all these watches or something, you know. If I had 100 watches and I could put them all on my arm like this, see. Every time I want you to get saved out there, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to add you to the sanctified. And I pile the other watches on. All the same body, showing the same. Understand that? That's what it is. Now, wrong place. Now, so therefore, sanctify them, the end of verse 18, and which are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that a little differently of all kinds of ways, go with me over, please, to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 1, you'd recall, and each of the epistles, think of reading, as you read the letters, God's grace and peace be unto you, sanctified, etc. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit of God, whom the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and who sets you apart? The Spirit of God does. It's his business to sanctify you, to make you onto his body. 1 Corinthians 12, he is the source of making you. Hey, we'll do it. Hold your finger right here. 1 Corinthians 12. The Spirit of God's ministry is to sanctify you, place you, set you apart in the body, in Christ. And he does so the minute you get saved. And chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. The Spirit of God, when you got saved, gave you a wonderful relationship to Christ and put you in the place for God to outwork his will in your life. And each one, each believer is set apart. God does what he puts them there and uses them as he will in the body. He does it. You didn't ask for it. You say, well, I'm going to go to school and train for the pulpit. Well, you can train 1,000 years for the pulpit if you were using the pulpit, whatever. I shouldn't say the pulpit, preaching, pastors, whatever. Anyway, in the process, do it 1,000 years. That does not make you. God doesn't send you to school. God gifts you. That's how you get in the body of Christ. He puts you in the body of Christ as it pleases him. That doesn't mean training and all of that is useless. No, it isn't. It's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't give you a position in the body of Christ. You could have 7,000 years and be able to memorize the whole Old Testament. That doesn't give you a prior. A little kid out there that God saves, he may want that little kid to do what you've been got. Boy, you have all that training. That's true. But that is where God put you. God didn't use you for that. God used that little kid for that. God does that. So we don't sit there, and no one does anyway. People don't. To go in the pulpit today is crazy anyway. I don't. There's no one doing it. It's very, very difficult. It'd be like going in the military. And the military of yesterday was one thing. The military of today is another. So you double, triple down. Do I really want to do that, you see? Because of the woke and all those different things. All that stuff that you have to do. It's crazy, you see. See, I have to go to battle with somebody that thinks he's a tomato, you see. And he thinks he's a tomato. And I have to go to battle with him. And all he wants to do is make tomato juice. He don't care. We're supposed to shoot the other tomatoes out there, you see. They don't do it. They don't do it. The church is like that today. That's why Keith and them are trying to find people to replace things. You don't find them. Got a long way to go. Very hard. They just aren't of the same mentality. They aren't of the same. They aren't able. You'll pick it up this morning, maybe. They just aren't there. It doesn't mean they aren't there. They're just not. They're not very popular. They're hard to find. Even when I was fooling around with that kind of thing in school at Biola and all of that, Talbot, Biola, doing that stuff. And I was told by one of my dear lady, teacher, English teacher she was, old English teacher. She said, make sure you don't get tied up with the wrong group in school. He said, you'll have to find the group that's spiritual, that's looking to grow and know and overcome being in this college. You've got to understand that so you can survive. Otherwise, you're going to pick up, I'm a believer, but I really don't believe. And we get a whole bunch of us that are a bunch of believers, but we really aren't very into it. What we just looked at, sanctified, that's the last thing we're going to think about. You understand a little? Find the people that are with it. That's what to do. And and you got a good shot at living through the school. Now, here's Peter again. Sanctified in verse 2. By the Spirit of God, grace be unto you and peace be multiple. Sliding down, if I can. In verse 2, where we did it. Unto you and peace be multiplied. Looking to God's. Now, if you do that, hanging on to your thought, hold your finger here. Go back over to Hebrews chapter 13 as you come to the end of chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 12. And when I was just mumbling about, that was years ago. That's a long time ago. That problem existed. Can you imagine the passing of all these years? Whatever happened to that kind of thinking, right? Who thinks like that anymore? A long time ago. Wow. Now, chapter 13 and in verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, how so? With his own blood, suffered without the gate. That's how we get set apart. Christ died on the cross for us. Having done that, back over to Peter, sanctified by his blood, and was set apart by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter 1, 2. Chapter 3. What are we going to do then to make it all practical? 1 Peter, chapter 3, going, if I can, to verse... Verse 15. And you will note, but sanctify. Look, I'm going to read verse 14 because that's the context. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify. In other words, don't get caught, hang on to that for the morning, because you'll need that a little if you can remember it. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God. Where? In your heart. God sanctified you. You sanctify God and set him apart. You, here's the chair. The chair is there. That's where you sit. And God has set you apart for him. And you get out of the seat, and he sits in that seat. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Let him sit where you do. Let him sit there. Sanctify him. So when all the worries and things come, you got to think about and worry about and do everything. All of those things are there. But if you don't sanctify him and set him apart, difference, he's lost in the middle of everything. And the list of your thoughts about work, at home, about school, about family, about friends, about enemies, pluses and minuses, they're all there. But there's also in the midst of all of that pile, God. So I got to get God out of the pile and sanctify him. So he's clearly set apart in my mind. God is one thing in me. All the dumb everything else, word, thought, and deed, is something else. Something else. I don't mix that up with God. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And when you do, verse 15, be ready to always, because you're going to be sanctified, showing God's wonderful grace, as we shared earlier. Already sanctified, verse 15. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. What are we giving an answer to? We're going to give an answer to why I'm able to go and look to God, trust God, know God, honor God, and do so. Why am I going to do so? Because I have a wonderful expectancy that God's hope is the expectancy, anticipation of going down the corridor of time. Christ in you, the hope of, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ's our hope. How am I going to go to the next minute? I'm sanctified. God has the next minute and the next minute. You may die. That's up to God. It's up to God to tell me to do that, not me. It's up to God to help me. My job is just to be sanctified, looking to God, and I understand I'm sanctified. And I understand God, back and forth to yourself. I understand I'm sanctified. So God's going to do what he's going to do. What am I answering to the people that ask? I'm telling you a reason I can proceed down the corridor of time because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're able to be sanctified in that unique, wonderful relationship. We're not to be troubled, verse 14. We're to be looking to God and with meekness and fear, trusting God. And that's how we do it. That's how we get out of the corridor of time. Wow. There's 1,000 things we could have said. I hope you got a little bit. Now that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Now, back over to Hebrews. I hope the exercise was help you. Isn't hard. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 14. For by one offering, he had finished it off. It's all done with it, brought it to an end. It's all done. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what he did. He finished it. Now, God, here we are. Now, God, you're going to sanctify me. No. You're going to sanctify me. We'll talk about it later. I got to go to work. See, I got business to do. I'll talk about it later, God. Okay? Okay. Sanctify. See, no. No. Now, it isn't this way. It's this way. This way. I can't leave God out. Watch. I left God, in my mind, practically, I put God out here so that I could put him down, or get away from him, but also I can hold him, see? And we do that, back and forth, carnality, flesh. What do we do? We're supposed to stay what? In fellowship. In fellowship. The vine and the branch. That's what we do. Not this. See? God, thank you. Thank you. But I can be over here. I don't have to. Practically, I can think like that. But God, no. No, I am. It's finished. It's all finished. This is where it belongs. There's no more worry about it, thought about it, a decision. The decision has been made. You are sanctified. Once for all, the Spirit of God has put you in the body of Christ. Once for all, there is nothing to do now except to exercise the relationship. That's what you do. Now, having said that in verse 14, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we come to verse 15. When we come to verse 15, to 18, what are we going to do? We're going to go back and look at the great covenant we've been doing on Wednesday with Jeremiah chapter 31, etc. And we're looking at that's a covenant God makes with Israel. It's a wonderful covenant God makes. He made it with Israel. It's an awesome future. And without going back, Jeremiah 31, 33, 34, So, God the Holy Spirit, so verse 15, 10, 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So, what's he a witness to? He's a witness about what God said in Jeremiah 31, about what God said to Moses, about what God said to David. God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, is to witness to you about the Word of God that God gave in the light of the Old Testament, etc. So, the Holy Ghost, he's giving us, it's his wonderful ministry to also is a witness to us. After that, he has said before, and then he quotes verse 16, 17, 18, he goes back to Jeremiah 31. So how do you know Jeremiah is 31? Because God said so. See? So I don't know. Who wrote Jeremiah? Who wrote Jeremiah 31? How do you know who wrote? Who wrote it? When did he write it, you see? No, the Spirit of God said, just read it. Understand? I'm telling you what it says. That helps us. Otherwise, we start off with the Bible. How do we know what it says? Right? So we're going to read it. And we're going to say, well, then we turn a page and we do it. And in doing that, what are we doing? We're looking to see our thinking. But when we come to the Bible, God, we're sanctified. We come to the Bible and we open the Bible and we believe God gave us his word in the original languages without any question. So we're going to go. So whatever I'm going to read, whatever page I'm going to read, God, I start off, God, you said, you have given us your word, and we ought to honor it and believe it. Understanding it's a whole nother ball game, but we're to honor it. The Spirit of God is, without turning all over the place to see it, the Spirit of God is going to go and show, look, where you, I say that, here's the, go to, you're right in Hebrews, Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, that's Isaiah 55:3 in that. If you hear his voice, that's the Spirit of God. Chapter 4. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, this is David, today, after a long, so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, etc. And you can keep going. And the Spirit of God says this, the Spirit of God says that. So that's what we do. So it isn't a question whether I understand or whatever. I'm talking about God's doing what he's doing. Don't you have books, all of you, different things, at least you used to have books, have stuff. And I got big books, I got lots of things. So in case we have a tornado, that holds the house down. That's what the whole purpose is, to hold the house down so it can't blow away. Now, in the process, they're booked, and I have to go, they're big. I get about everything. Drug books and everything, about where all drugs are made. Each drug, what is a drug? How is a drug mixed into a formula, a mixture? Big books like this. Go open them. See? All I can do, I don't know them. That's why I got the book. I got the book. I read the book. You see? That's what you got. We got the book. We read it and believe it. That's what we're doing. That's how you learn, isn't it? That's how you understand. Wow. Now, so therefore, in verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. After that he had said before, and then you have 16, 17, and 18. And 18, in the process. And as you read, God's going to go and show his covenant in chapter 8. You're going to have chapter 8. Just turn it just to keep awake, I guess. Chapter 8. And in verse 10 and 11 and 12, I'm going to quote again. But when you come over to the chapter, that's chapter 8, 10, 12, Jeremiah 31, 34. That's the purpose to show the new covenant allows for the old. But when you come to Hebrews chapter 10, 16, 17, 18, we're using the same scripture in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, but this time we aren't using it. We're showing another thing. What are we showing? It's based on the cross. Chapter 16, 17, 18, the future of Israel is based on the cross, the new covenant. Israel, God will put the law in their heart and their head and everything, and God's going to do all of that. That's a wonderful, wonderful commitment to the future. And therefore, there is no further need to go any further. God, here's God's wonderful plan for Israel, way back here, and that to believe it. Here's God's wonderful plan for Israel, and there's no further need to do anything. Christ died on the cross. Finished. It's all finished. All of that truth is finished. All done. Not going anywhere. The cross finished. God is satisfied with the truth. He's satisfied. There's no more to be done, no more to be said. It all has to work itself out in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so, God, here we are looking. So here's the unsaved heart. And what were they doing? Remember, here's the here's the temple in 70 AD, still standing. And there are Jews, unsaved Jews, that are going there, sacrificing, hoping if they have something, they say, we have a wonderful future, Jeremiah 31, God's going to be in the kingdom if they had that. And then it's the future. So that's the Jew going to the temple. And then that's the unsaved Jew. And then the saved Jew is going to the temple. Even they shouldn't be going to the temple. They shouldn't be going there. You don't need to go there. It's finished. So what are we going to do? Well, God, what are you saying? Then when you go to the temple, you're looking for the future to happen. And will it, has it happened? The future is already satisfied. God has satisfied himself as to your future. He's all done. It's finished. Sign the document and walk away. You've got a finished product. You're able to go and cash your check, and you've got the money in your hand. God has already given you the future. In Christ Jesus, it's there. Therefore, when you come to verse 18, or even verse 17 better, in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I'm done. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more remembrance of sin. No more. I'm finished. What about sin? I'm done. That's why we sit there. All we can do is, God, for forgiveness. We did this whole thing a little while ago. For forgiveness. We confess our sin. He's faithful in what? To forgive. Why? He's finished. So you don't have to say, well, God, you've got to forgive. No, it's because you have been forgiven. That's why you're going to go and understand. That's why you get out of bed. That's why you go to bed. That's why. Because you're sanctified and set apart. Wow. Let's see. They're getting a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. Simple, wonderful truth. We didn't get very far. But just got to understand it. How many believers understand and practice that? They get it. Sanctified. Wow.